Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. TNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on two purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dick's.com/scorecardplus for details.
Back here on Darren Donick and Chase, ESPN 102.5 The Game. You know you've been around the block a time or two whenever you've been talking to our next guest for two decades. Willie, a lot's happened in 2 decades since we've been talking to Gary Stein in Baltimore. 105.7 The Fan in Baltimore. That's how long he's been covering the Ravens. He does a lot of things in that area, including Maryland, Terrapins, football. Still doing soccer, Gary? You were doing soccer, I think, the last time we talked. Still doing soccer?
Well, if there's a season, I will be doing soccer. That is correct.
Yeah.
But without fans, I don't know. You know, I don't know. I don't know if soccer is going to work.
Well, I think NFL is going to work. They're going to have a season. That's pretty clear. Let's start with kind of what started kind of the Ravens news in camp. They parted ways with Earl Thomas. What was going on? What was the story behind the scenes with him? You've heard a lot of stuff, that's for sure.
Yeah. I think that I really think it's not as complicated as people want to make it out to be. You know, sometimes you can get a great player, but he's not a great fit for your team for a variety of reasons. Maybe it's your culture, maybe it's him, maybe it's a combination of the two. And I think even from day one, when Earl Thomas came to the Ravens, they signed him, it wasn't a great fit. I just don't think that he really got what the Ravens were all about. He freelanced a lot. There are two issues here. There's what he did on the field and what he did off the field. What he did on the field was he freelanced a lot. That in and of itself isn't a crime, because Ed Reed freelanced a lot, but Ed Reed got there. Ed Reed made the play. More often than not, Earl Thomas wouldn't make the play. And so when you freelance and you don't make the play, that exposes the other people on your defense. That was issue number one. Issue number two, I mean, look, you've probably read in, you know, a variety of publications about his off-the-field stuff that he did, which, you know, kind of landed him in a little bit of hot water, to say the least. And that didn't sit well with the Ravens. And so I think that, you know, all of that stuff just kind of bubbled up to the surface. He got into it with Chuck Clark. Clark kind of berated him. Earl Thomas doesn't take that. They got into a scuffle, and Chuck Clark won, bottom line. Ravens didn't have a use for him, suspended him, released him. They'll take a salary cap hit a little bit. But bottom line is it's probably addition by subtraction.
How is Lamar Jackson handling, you know, just all the expectations? And last year, obviously, huge year, weren't able to finish things off. It didn't go well against the Titans. We all know all about that, by the way, big regular season and then losing that first home game in the playoffs.
Yeah.
It just happened to be the tables were turned, and the Titans were able to do that to Baltimore. But how is he handling, you know, the pressure of trying to follow up an MVP season, the pressure of trying to now win games in January? I mean, how does he – what's the makeup of him to handle that?
I don't even think he thinks about it, Darren, to be honest
really?
With you. I know that that's going to kind of sound weird, especially because – I mean, just think about it. Like, this is what you and I do, right? We talk about this all the time, you know, ad nauseum, on the radio, on the TV, online, now, right? It's like we talk about it. Like, we make these things up. You know, I'm not saying we're lying. I'm saying we're creating these storylines, right? We do it all the time. That's our job, right? He doesn't even – dude, I got to tell you something. He doesn't even think about it. I he doesn't even I'm not going to say he doesn't remember the Titans game. Of course he remembers it. He doesn't think about it more than just that. You know, it's over. It's history. Move on. Next play, next game, next game plan. And I you probably don't know his mother. His mother is the shining light of his life. His mother's his agent, basically. You know, they're close. They're tight. He's a family guy. None of that glitter and all that other stuff that we associate with the league, it doesn't apply to him. So to answer your question, long way around it, I think he's handling it great. You know, the only pressure that Lamar's putting, that Lamar has is what he puts on himself. Not the fans, not the team, not the media, not the glare, none of that. He's Lamar. Hmm. He's awesome. I know you haven't been around him. He is awesome. Great guy.
Interesting. Gary Stein on the line with us, 105.7, the Fan in Baltimore. So I wondered this about Kittle when he kind of burst on the scene and had that big year. You know, of course, we all do the fantasy football around here, so you always wonder, can he follow that up? And I was hesitant last year. You know, I don't know if this guy's the real deal or not. Did he used to have a big season? We know George Kittle is the real deal. I wondered the same thing about Mark Andrews. I took him this year in fantasy. Is he the real deal? I mean, give me the makeup of Mark Andrews at tight end.
You know,
is he a stud tight end?
Yeah, I mean, look, is he a Kelce or a Kittle right now? No, but, you know, Kittle wasn't a Kittle until really a couple years ago either. Yeah, well, no, even last year, because he had the one good year, and then you probably asked the same question about Kittle, right?
Yeah.
So you're asking now the same question about Andrews. So you didn't know about really Kittle until last year. I mean, I think you'll find out about Andrews. You know, Andrews is a good young man. He's a serious guy. You know, he's a diabetic. He takes his, you know, that leaves a mark on a person, no pun intended, obviously. You know, he takes everything seriously. He's a good guy. He's a good study. I think he's going to get even more opportunity in the offense this year because they didn't bring back Hayden Hurst. They traded him for a couple of draft choices to Atlanta. Him and Boyle are the two tight ends. Boyle is more of a blocking tight end than Andrews. So yeah, I think Andrews' numbers, I wouldn't be surprised with a 1,000-yard season. You know, I'm not going to take, if you're playing fantasy, I'm not taking him ahead of Kelce and Kittle, but I put him on par with Zach Ertz right now. And so yeah, you're asking me, is he the real deal? I kind of think he is.
We're talking to Gary Stein, who has covered the Ravens for a long time. But Gary, I want to ask you one about, it's related to what John Harbaugh said in the Free the Big Ten speech that he gave. I always have to remind myself still today that Maryland is in the Big Ten and not in the ACC. It's because for so many years I was programmed that way. But give me the thought in your circles on where the Big Ten football is going. It seems like there's a lot of momentum to try to figure out a way to play, to satisfy the people you need to satisfy to get on the field. Where do you think it's going?
I think they're going to find a way to play. Unless, with a caveat, which is the caveat for everything in the world today,
right?
Unless another Armageddon hits us, okay? Which we don't know, which nobody thinks is going to happen, but who knows? You know, whatever. Politics, I don't even want to get into that. It makes my head crazy, and I want to blow myself up. So, but all things being equal, whatever, I think they're going to try to find a way to play. You know, there are certain sections in the country where football is just too damn important. The SEC clearly being one of them. I think Big Ten football and SEC football is even more important for the country than the NFL, for crying out loud. Because, I mean, these towns that these SEC teams are in and these Big Ten teams are in, they don't have anything else. You know, I mean, what else is going on in Tuscaloosa? What else is going on in Baton Rouge? What else goes on in Ann Arbor, for crying out loud? The football team and the university is the town. Right. Without that, the town isn't the town. So I think we're fans, regardless, they're going to try to play because it's so important. And look, what form the schedule is going to take, I have no idea. How many games they're going to be able to play, who knows. But I think they're going to try to figure out a way to play.
Another question we kick around a lot. It has been determined that the first two Titans games will not have fans. They're hopeful, based on a conference call they had or a Zoom call they had with the media yesterday, they are hopeful that after the first two games, they'll be able to talk about it. They're ready if they get the go-ahead from the mayor. What's the landscape for the Ravens in terms of fans at the stands?
Yeah, it's a good question. Initially, this was like months ago, two, three months ago, whatever. They came out and said, we're going to have 14,000 fans, so basically 20% of the stadium, you know, about 20, 25%. Then they lowered that down to 7,500, about 10% of the stadium. Now it's zero. I guess they had a meeting with the governor, the state, you know, whatever, goes through the protocols, the plans, et cetera. So now it's zero. But they are hoping that that's going to be lifted, and by mid-season perhaps, so what would that be? Middle October, November, I guess. They're hoping to have some fans in the stands. I think right now it's 7,500, so probably the lowest capacity that they could have. But right now it's zero fans. No fans will be in the stands come Sunday.
Talking to Gary Stein, Baltimore Ravens, getting a preview on them. Now, we obviously know that Lamar Jackson, Mark Ingram were the run game for the most part last year for this team, but rookie J.K. Dobbins, a draft pick out of Ohio State. How do you see him fitting in with this team?
Completely fitting in with the team. I can see, first of all, I was a little surprised by the selection, but the more I thought about it, the more I talked to people, the thinking behind the selection is just so sound. He dropped. He's a round one talent. How many more years does Mark Ingram have left? Gus Edwards isn't a game breaker. He's not a good pass catcher. Lamar Jackson is young. They have plenty of years, J.K. Dobbins and Lamar Jackson together. If I'm a fantasy player, I take J.K. Dobbins a little later. I don't know what round, probably not fourth or fifth even, maybe eighth, ninth, tenth, 11th, if he's still there, obviously. But I think by midseason, you're going to see the balance of power in the Ravens' backfield shift, and it's going to shift towards J.K. Dobbins. Because J.K. Dobbins is a home run hitter, he's the biggest home run hitter the Ravens have in both catching the football out of the backfield, and that's going to be a big part of this game plan. One of the reasons why they let Hayden Hurst go for two draft choices was because they feel they could get more pass catching ability out of the backfield, and they're going to do that. And J.K. Dobbins is going to be a big part of that.
When do you think Ronnie Stanley gets his contract? We've seen all these first round picks from that draft get their next contract, and you got to figure he's next in line. So when do you think that comes?
I think it comes after the season. I think that he is going to get it. The Ravens will not let him go to another team with that second contract. There are certain players the Ravens keep and certain ones they don't. I mean, they didn't even keep C.J. Mosley for that second go around. He was a good player, great player, but Ronnie Stanley's special. Ronnie Stanley's got Hall of Fame potential if he stays healthy. Didn't allow a sack last year. Both tackle slots. I mean, Orlando Brown on the right side is obviously a step behind Ronnie Stanley because of tenure, experience, etc. But the Ravens are set at tackle, barring injury and health, for the next decade. They're not going to let Ronnie Stanley go.
Who's the number one target for Lamar Jackson this year?
Marquise Brown. I think they want to be the number one target. They want that to be the guy. But he's slight. I wouldn't say he's injury prone. We don't know that yet. But he does. He's been hurt. And until you're not hurt, you got a label, as you well know. But they want him to be the number one target. But if you're talking about sheer volume, I think Mark Andrews will get the most targets.
By the way, just on the way out, J.K. Dobbins went in the middle of the sixth round in our draft this past weekend that all three of us are in. 12-team league, so just so you know.
I mean, I think that's a little high, but and I've been playing – I'm actually a fairly – I don't want to toot my own horn. I'm a fairly good fantasy player, fairly. But I think that obviously the person who picked him in the sixth round believes that the balance of power is going to shift. It's just a matter of when.
Yeah, it was not one of the three of us, so we can bash that owner for picking too
high. I think it's a little high.
Gary, always appreciate it. You continue to be safe in Baltimore, and we will talk to you down the road, my man.
Guys, you do the same. Hopefully we can hook up again before the Titans and the Ravens do it.
Sounds good. Gary Stein in Baltimore. does a great job covering that team, has known that team inside and out for a very, very long time. 105.7 The Fan there in Baltimore. Good stuff on the Ravens and handling expectations. That was pretty interesting about Lamar Jackson. I was not I've always been curious, kind of like his makeup, you know, how, you know, his star is obviously huge right now. He is a huge name in the sport at a very, very, you know, this early in his career. How do, you know, I always wonder, how do people handle that? And it's pretty glowing from Gary about how he's handled things to this point.
Did you know that his mom sort of acts as his agent?
No, I did not. No, I did not know that.
That's a really fun, that's a fun story. I think he is special, no question. I think they're doing a lot of the same things in their own way as the Titans are. Their offense for really the entire season, as opposed to the Titans for the last 10, 12 weeks, was cooking. Like nobody could figure it out. So they're trying to say to themselves, okay, what will defenses do against us differently? They've been studying us, and how do we wrinkle and show them a little something so we stay at the same efficiency rate? Their critics will be asking the same questions. Can they duplicate what was an almost unstoppable offense last year? And even though the Titans beat them, they made all the key plays at the key times. It's not like they couldn't keep them from moving the ball. Like nobody really stopped them from moving the ball. So what's the next step for the Ravens? Will they regress, or can they do this again for a whole season?
Mm-hmm.
Dobbins could be a big part of that equation, right? How do they use him?
Could be. It will be interesting to see
of
how
course,
they
Chase
follow
and I,
up.
Chase and I have Ingram, so I can see why Chase was asking the question about Dobbins, because we took Ingram pretty early.
You took Ingram in the fourth, late fourth round, second to last pick.
Yes.
In the fourth round, and J.K. Dobbins, as I said, went middle of the sixth round.
And Chase and I are co-owners of the team in our league. My thinking was he's a sure thing, that Ingram is a guy that is – you know what you're getting. And hopefully his role won't change a whole lot. Even if they use Dobbins, it won't take too much away from Ingram. That's my thought, but we'll see.
Just for reference point out there, you guys, the very next pick to end the fourth round was Le'Veon Bell. So I don't know how the listeners feel, but you guys took Mark Ingram over Le'Veon Bell. So we'll see how that all plays out.
We were contemplating Le'Veon Bell, and if Le'Veon Bell was still sitting there coming back around, in the next round, that's who we would have taken, but he was okay. The next pick. Yep.
Okay. I, two picks before that, had taken Leonard Fournette.
There's another one. A lot of questions.
And the pick before mine was Melvin Gordon, which we will see in the Titans game on Monday. But when we got the report yesterday in Denver, it seemed like Grisal painted the picture that Lindsay and Gordon will kind of split the load this year.
Well,
at least early on.
And that's another guy that we have. I'm throwing this out, not that anybody cares about our particular fantasy
teams.
Well,
but people are playing fantasy.
People are drafting their teams. They're having these same questions that they're kicking around. And so we took Lindsay a little later, hoping that, you know, he will end up getting his regular workload. I think he is good enough to be a really productive back. But how much will of his opportunity will be taken away from Gordon? Or by Gordon.
The trickiest part, see, the Denver thing doesn't really confuse me as much because both guys have a body of work. Like, Melvin Gordon has a body of work in the league. What's always tricky is kind of like what we're talking about. The Dobbins, who's a rookie. Like, you don't know, right? All you can do is project. It's like Marlon Mack and Jonathan Taylor, right? Like, all these people taking Taylor over Mack. Well, Mack is, you know what he brings to the table. You're just projecting and hoping that Taylor brings it to the table, right? If you took Taylor over Mack, or if you took Dobbins over Ingram. But there's no way to know with rookies. No way to know. You're just guessing. You're hoping that all the projections and what people are saying, it's true. But it has to actually play out, because the other guy, you know what Mark Ingram brings to the table, right? You know what Mack brings to the table. It's what are the rookies, what are the young guys bring to the table? That's always tricky. I tend to stay away from that just because I just don't trust it. Because so many times it doesn't play out. Go back and look at all the fantasy drafts and all the young guys that were taken really high, and it never worked out. It ended up being just a bust pick. Sometimes they do, though. Sometimes they're massive hits. We'll come back. Tim Hasselbeck, our weekly chat with him to start the third hour of Darren, Donick, and Chase. That's next.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. TNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on two purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dick's.com/scorecardplus for details.